You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
So that front hook, at least in my, well, data showing, it is, does more than its share of heavy lifting in terms of hooking and landing the fish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Guidepost. Tony here. Two awesome guests today. We're going to get into that in a second, but you can kind of tell from the pitch of my voice, I'm pretty excited about something. You know, we have been collaborating on this for a while with our two guests today. And now that we got the incredible presentation from the amazing work that is being done at MassDMF and the post-release mortality study, it's still ongoing, but we know where stuff is going on this. We're able to kind of announce what we've been working on for a while. And it's a collaboration between our friends at Got One, which you need to download if you want to learn about, learn more than you ever thought you would ever want to know about fish. And our friend Mike Hogan at Hoagie Lures. Mike and Lou, how is everyone doing today?
Well, Tony, thanks so much for, first of all, for having us, and doing pretty darn good. I'm looking at some striper rash on my hands from a delightful but very cold afternoon with some new migratory fish in our home court. So doing good.
before the podcast started, we were laughing that we both recently lost hats on a fishing trip. I looked like a 1962 game show host with kind of the Ron Burgundy perma hair, and you got a little bit of sunburn, but you know, it's worth it for the fish, Mike, right? So Lou's over there laughing. I cut him off. He couldn't even introduce himself. Lou, you're just becoming a regular on here. We're going to give you your own seat and artwork on the podcast. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. I need no introduction now anymore. I'm just jealous that I wasn't out catching striped bass the way Captain Mike was. But, you know, someone's got to do the real work here in the basement.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's product testing. You just got into the wrong product, the app versus the hard goods. So this is, you know, really cool stuff because we all kind of gelled together over the MassDMF study. All of us are on the water a lot. We know there's a problem with striped bass, and we have a lot of faith with the scientists at MassDMF. This study has been needed for decades. So Hoagie stepped up immediately, started producing video. Lou spent countless hours tailoring his app. We got all this information together. We executed it, got people to participate, got people to use the app to send the data in. And, you know, I got to think, like, you know, when Mike Armstrong was presenting that information, it was a lot more robust thanks to you two characters putting your shoulders into it and pushing it forward. So I think the whole striped bass community should probably, you know, just kind of give a little tip of the hat to you two goofballs, because more data is better data. It's better science. And we're in a good place now because we understand how we as anglers can participate in the striped bass fishery. And if we choose to release that fish, give it the best chance of survival. So that's cool. I mean, I'll give a little clap for you guys on the podcast. But you know, we're all part of this. And I think it's something huge. And I think people are gonna be using this science for decades to come. So what was that like, Hoagie and Lou? What was that like with you guys just connected like peas and carrots, right? I'm gonna let y'all just talk about that. It was funny. It was funny when I introduced you to.
Yeah. So, I should say for the record that I met Mike. Mike and I met through you, Tony, and we've just had a blast together. I think, you know, number one, even though we're working on very different things, and obviously Mike's been at this in the tackle industry for far longer than I have in you know, we've got one in the app market, but like we are like, we think so much the same way about so many things that when we met, it was like, how did we not know each other like 20 years ago? And it's been super fun because like our partnership with you, Tony, and the ASGA folks, you know, it's, we have a very similar commitment to the fishery. We're all passionate about the fishing side of it. And we think, I think in very entrepreneurial, out of the box kind of ways, which is what makes it so much fun to work with both of you. And, you know, just like, I think we have the ability to do things fast that can change a game in dynamic ways quickly in an industry that's not used to quick and fast being operative words. It's been a blast.
No, and I certainly echo that. It's funny. I was on the phone with you yesterday morning, Lou, and I was dropping my son off at school. He's like, "So, how long have you known Louis-Ann for?" And I'm like, "Actually, not that long." He's like, "Well, you talk to him a lot. It seems like you've been friends forever." I'm like, "It does." And you know, just to reiterate a lot of what Lou said, yeah, it just you know, sometimes you just click. We view fishing from a similar viewpoint, certainly Lou has a fly rod in his hand more than I do. And, you know, but as anglers, we, I think, look at the water the same way. As entrepreneurs, we look at opportunities the same way, and finding positive energy and positive ways to solve challenging problems is another, you know, sort of mission we both share. And so here we are,
Mike, you latched onto the app like a fat kid on a cupcake. Oh, I mean, yeah, I watched your eyes on the Zoom, and it was like there was like smoke coming out your ears, and you're like, stop it. And then it was the funniest, I'm not going to say what it was, but Lou called me a couple of weeks later, and you had already found some way that your brain found to use the app to connect things better and like a share information. I don't even know what it was. I'll
actually mention it because,
okay, yeah,
you know, we added one of the big breakthroughs for the Got One app has been the ability to upload photos and take the metadata that's embedded in the photo to actually create the log entry. So it has a time, it has a location data. From that, it can pull in the tide and the moon phase and wind and water temperature. But Mike was the first, you know, angler that we talked to was like, oh snap, I can upload hundreds of my photos from prior year. And what we discovered was we had actually originally limited the dates you could go back to by like 3 years, but it turns out you can upload photos going back many more years than that, and it actually records all the data, and it'll go back and look up tide, moon phase, all the stuff. So Mike kind of unlocked the secret of using Got One as a way to actually digitize your logbook through your photo album, which was just a huge, you know, we kind of thought about it, but we hadn't quite thought about it that way, and might kind of unlock that potential.
And so I've been using Got One in the same way to share, you know, you get back from fishing and you're late and you're in trouble. I'm always in trouble. I'm always at the dock on time, but the time between cleaning my boat and getting home is where I get in trouble personally. But so you get back and your whole world's like, where were you? And it's tough to answer your friend network. And so I've got my buddies on the app. So I just send them a picture from the day, and I don't have to explain anything else. Cause if they have the app and they upload my picture, it's a form of communication in my little fishing cohort. And so it's a, so yeah, now I'm sidetracking into how much I love the app, but I'm also I'm not so closeted nerd like tendencies, but it's awesome. But I also have, you know, a tough time keeping a log. I can't tell you how many logs, journals I've had over the years that they're amazing for the first three trips. And then there's a good Albie entry somewhere in between my spring stripers and everything else. And just doesn't happen, but I take a lot of pictures. And certainly with all the filming we do, we take a lot of pictures. So we learned a lot about our business just by uploading our past fishing pictures from film shoots that, you know, we make a lot of content videos. And it's just,
you brought up something great. So like what Lou's working with some of our guides in like, you know, maybe like 10 to 12 month fisheries, seasonal fisheries where they have lodges, you know, and it's more of kind of like a destination thing. They're looking at incorporating Got One for the lodge, the entire lodge. So think about that 2-3 years down the line, one of your guides, you know, something happens, God forbid, with their boat, or, you know, they wake up, they're not feeling good, and you have to get a new guy. And you can basically just walk in and look at 3 years of data and be like, new guy, you're fishing there today. Based on the last 3 years, this area, this is where you're going for redfish in the marsh.
It's a no-brainer.
You're going to have such a competitive advantage in such a short, in a year or two off every other lodge. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, we're kind of all the same, but in different directions. Mine is always like policy. How can we make the science better? How can we contribute? You know, you're looking at it through a business thing. Lou's looking at it through like artificial intelligence, entrepreneur, data guy. It's pretty wild. So here's the cool thing. We've been waiting. You know, the Mass DMF catch and release study. We've been just watching that reel, that app, looking at all the data as it's coming in. And finally, you know, Mike Armstrong did a really great presentation at ASMFC yesterday, but we kind of knew ahead of time. None of it is like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. A lot of it is just common sense. And we all know stripers, you know, are not doing great. And we all know that, I think just about everything else that's good in America, it starts with a couple of people who have the ability to influence change, and don't wait for a regulation and don't wait for somebody else to do it, but say, you know what, this is the right thing to do and we're going to do it. So now that that presentation is out, now that we know what gear we use hurts the fish more than other gear, bait is the most damaging in categorically. But after that, treble, surface lures, lots of body damage. And because Mike and Lou have been embedded in this since almost day one with Mass DMF, getting people involved, providing the data, we started making moves behind the scenes a while ago, and like, drum roll, please, Mike, tell them what's coming out on Hoagie, because you're one heck of a responsible lure manufacturer, and you deeply care about these fish and understand better business through conservation. So, what's Hoagie got coming out for striper fishermen this
year? A lot of little things. Frequently, a lot of changes. And so getting, you know, being sort of on the front lines with this incredible citizen science program with the Massachusetts Department of Marine Fisheries, where we're tracking, you know, hook placement, fishing time, blood quality release, meaning how vigorously the fish swims away. I think I covered how long the fight is. I'm sure I'm missing a detail there or two. But so our role in that was helping the DMF create the, you know, online video for the instructions, the awareness, and using our marketing channels. We have a blog, Salty Cape, which is sort of all things fishing relating to Cape Cod, but all in New England. And then phase two of that was helping to integrate the new instructions as Got One aligned its app to meet their specifications which my opinion was sort of a hyperbolic moment in the project where, you know, paperwork on a boat, I know someone like me, that would be almost terminal, you know, in a windy center console early in the morning, everything's wet, you know, and so that was amazing. And then, so in the process of me taking the time to log the fish, talking to you guys, being around, being close to the front lines, you know, you start noticing things, whether you see it in the actual, you know, published data or just experientially, because you're taking the time to log things, and your memory is nowhere near as good as data, no matter how much you think it is. It's, I know this intellectually, and I'm still surprised every time I log stuff. And so treble hooks, everyone knows their trebles are probably less good than singles, but you know, you can build arguments either way. But I'm convinced that two treble hooks, from seeing what I've seen and hearing what I'm hearing, is no bueno. That's not healthy. You know, striped bass, for example, they tend to, particularly big baits, tend to hit it off in the front. So that front hook, at least in my, well, data showing, it is, does more than its share of heavy lifting in terms of hooking and landing the fish. But that still gives you an extra hook in the battle to find funny places. And so a lot of fish come in on the first hook, and then the second hook gets maybe in the gills or in the eye or a lot of damage. And, you know, it's concerning to me, because as we're filming, and if we hook something in the gills, it's like, do I leave that in as a role model? Do I, because it's what happened, or do we take it out? And it's created some strife there. So we also concurrently published our sustainability initiative this fall, and which is challenging for a company that makes plastic lures filled with lead and in a plastic bag targeting striped bass we're here talking about. And so I lose a lot of sleep over that sort of thing. And so a couple of the initiatives we put in place was no more back trebles on any new product. And we're going to turn existing models to that front hook with a no aft hook. And we've played around with a lot of different flags. If you folks don't know what flag is, it's basically a bucktail hook without the hook. And that so that's what's going on the aft end of the plug. Now, I personally don't like an aft hook on my plugs, just because I don't want to injure fish. And so every Hoagie lure that we've manufactured from day one is balanced to swim and fish properly on just the front hook. And so in all our videos starting last year, whenever we're using trebles, there's, you'll look back at the videos, you'll see there's a clip in each video where we take the back hook off and mash the barbs down on the front hook. And so admittedly, the lures look unfinished that way. So flags are going on all of our single treble hook. It's a funny thing to say. Plugs coming out in the future. And so we have four new plugs coming out this year. We're a little behind because we're also doing some non-plastic packaging that was more challenging than I expected on day one. But those are coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And we're converting a couple of two existing lines from treble to a treble, we call it treble flag. And then a lot of our smaller jigs where we saw through the Alp work, this is Albie related now, some bad treble stuff. And so any Albie related jigs, we're switching those over to singles. And, you know, we hope by the end of next year, every plug we have coming from Hoagie will be with a front treble with a inline flag teaser in the back of it.
By the way, you know, Mike mentioned Albies. I think it's worth mentioning that although, you know, we're talking about the data that's coming back from MassDMF, Mike has been quietly with Hoagie Lures working with Got One, doing a very similar survey on gear impact on false albacore vitality. And we kind of soft launched it last season, but we'll launch it. Our plan is to launch it big time this season. And so the same methodology that I think MassDMF has used to great effect for striped bass will obviously continue with stripers, but we are using on other species as well.
So I think looking at the mass DMF numbers, as Mike Armstrong presented them yesterday, just by doing this, so by going from treble-treble just to one treble, you're pretty much cutting down the injuries in half. And when you look at the hook location versus hook type, it's unbelievable. I mean, so I'd say maybe 65 to 70. So let's say 30 to 35% of fish treble-treble had some good damage to their body. Smaller percentage to the esophagus, and a decent percentage, maybe like 4, 5, 6% damage to their gills, which is pretty much lethal. And if you go to just the single treble, you have pretty much under 10% damage to the body, no damage, no discernible damage to the gills. And just, I mean, it's, look, you guys can see me squinting on here. Tiny little sliver in there to the esophagus. So essentially, you know, this is where I'm probably going to riff for a second. If we wait for regulations to dictate what's going to happen, I can hear the ASMFC board talking right now. Oh, well, you know, lure manufacturers, tackle shops, they're going to have to get rid of their inventory, which I never really understood, because whatever people are buying, it's not going to be good next year. Like, you know, a J-hook, if they mandate circle hooks, what are you going to do with your J-hook inventory, right? I mean, you're kind of stuck with it. And I just, you know, these gear, oh, let's not implement till 2031. And the fact that a manufacturer the size and prominence of Hoagie, because why? You know, participation creates opportunity. And we've been participating in this mass DMF study and seeing the data come in real time from the get-go. And that created an opportunity that you saw, Mike, that goes right along with your ethos. You know, if you're going to throw the fish back, do everything you can to make it live. And if somebody, I said it on the podcast the other day, if somebody told me if I were a pink tutu that I could cut mortality in half, there'd be a lot of pictures on social media of a really hairy guy in a pink tutu fishing for stripers. I'd do just about anything to lower that number. And with the size of Hoagie lures, you know, with Mike at the leader at the helm of it, they are able to make these changes very quickly and very efficiently. And to my knowledge, is the first good-sized manufacturer that's looked at science on striped bass and said, well, you know, before it was just what I saw. Now it's science, time to make a move. And all we can do is hope that other manufacturers follow the lead of, you know, Hoagie, Got One, Guides Association, you know, preaching this conservation ethic that's like, look, we recognize the fact that we're fishermen. So by proxy, we're going to kill fish no matter how hard we try not to and how careful we are. It happens. It's going to happen. But with what Mike is doing and with what Lou is doing with the app, we've elevated our knowledge, education, and I firmly believe that the striped bass community is the most conservation-minded fishing community on the planet. And they're gonna embrace these changes well before they become regulation. Well before. The word will get out with this science, the word will get out on the conservation that, you know, you're basically lowering mortality by 50% on people who are fishing with your lures that are rolling out to help conservation. That's incredible.
It's a big deal.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony, I didn't mean to cut you off. We're just in the grand scheme of things, we're a relatively small company, and I know how many different people buy just Hoagie lures, double, treble hooks. And so in those numbers, you might intuitively know, but when you see them in data form, and I'm just thinking about on a Saturday afternoon, how many boats you see, like you talk about things in like percentage reduction in mortality is always the difference between 12% and 3% or a little bit, those are like, what does that mean? But when you think about it, I can pull up a spreadsheet on my accounting software and see how many different human beings of in different addresses ordering these different plugs to ship. And it's a lot of, it's thousands of people. And that's how many fish do you catch in a trip? How many times do you go? It's like, it's a real number. It's like with lots of digits.
Yeah. I wonder, Mike, one of the things that,
as soon as you said number and digits, Lou's eyes lit up and I put myself on mute. Lou, please go.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like something Tony said about like, you have enough size, but you're small enough that you can kind of move fast. And I'd love to talk about that a little bit, like this notion of innovation. One of the things that I've been so impressed in talking to you about and Hoagie Lures is that you have a big impact, as you said, and you sell a lot of lures. You've got a lot of anglers who fish your stuff, but you're constantly innovating. You're constantly changing. You're constantly refining. And I'd just love for you to talk more about, how you think about innovation in a lure company, in a tackle company, and then also how this kind of attention to sustainability and conservation is good for your business as a business, leader. Like that you're not doing this out of the goodness of your heart. You must have a theory that this actually drives benefit to your business.
Yeah. So I'm going to use the word system, and I'll reassure you that I'm not going to go deep in, because both these guys know how into systems, and I'm a big fan of system dynamics as a practice. And so I sort of view my whole universe as systems and all the different feedback loops that connect from one thing to another. And sort of the art is knowing where to draw the limits. But so you talk about a couple of things, what innovations and what drives that. And so over the years of Hoagie, our slogan has morphed into Fish Smart, Fish Simple. And so a simple system, it's funny, if you look at a commercial fisherman, they have like a very minimalist approach. They're very astute to, the tells and the environmental factors, situational factors. And you look at a beginner fisherman on the other end of the spectrum, they need a simple system because they can't learn everything at once. And so everybody in the middle sort of has their own version of a system. And so for me, innovation at Hoagie looks like streamlining your arsenal, if you will, to know it like the back of your hand, so you can focus. I mean, really, I'm a lure guy here, telling you the lure is almost the least important part of the equation. Knowing when and where, right timing's everything, right? Knowing when and where to be, and then once you're there, knowing how to read the water and freeing up your thinking to, understand the system that's going on below the surface. And so at Hoagie, constantly iterating to streamline that system, tight gear selection, fast changes, fast decision-making, knowing what to do to focus your energy, you're going to catch more fish in that mindset, in my opinion. And so where we come out with designs, oftentimes it's the opposite of what people would think is innovation. We're launching a couple of small pocket, we're calling pocket surf rods. They're more like a rod from the 1970s and 80s than they are of the 2020s. And they're simpler and just more versatile. And so that's where innovation comes for me, is finding simpler solutions to old problems. Now, we look at environmentalism and our sustainability, it's that same mindset in creating a system. And there's all kinds of overlap. So, Lou, you mentioned I'm not necessarily doing it out of the goodness of my heart. Well, in one sense, it makes perfect, you're right, it makes perfect business sense because, and Tony, a little while ago, mentioned pushback might be tackle companies worried about their inventories. I'm really worried about my inventory if there's no striped bass to catch. That's a bigger inventory problem to me than dealing with a couple of pallets of hooks I don't know what to do with. You know, I can recycle the hooks. And, there's a scrap metal place right down the road. I'd take them. And, so now I've sort of linked our sustainability initiative with our fish smart, fish simple mindset. So when a lure gets designed, the filter needs to be a better solution to what is currently commonplace. And by better solution, it needs to be fishier. It needs to land the same or more fish. It needs to have like an increase in productivity in one form or another while being more simple. And at the same time, we also have packaging and that kind of stuff, but that's not for this call. But, the package needs to be, modern sustainability, but also the hooks and the impact on the fish needs to be a major improvement to what we're replacing as a solution. And oftentimes, what's better for the mortality or survival rate is what I like to use. Mortality is a morbid word, but to increase the survival rate with hook placement. So we found, for example, last season, every lure fished on my boat was just the front facing treble for the most part. And we've landed at least as many fish with the single hook as we did with the double hook. And the amount of time it takes to release a fish and get it off is fractional versus if it's delicately in the gills, you're going to take the time. And so, if you can release the fish 30 seconds faster, that's, you're going to get X amount of more cast.
It makes a difference.
Yeah.
It so really does.
And by the way, that's in the MAST-EMF data too. Like the jump in mortality between a fight time and a release time measured in like sub minute versus like 2 minute is dramatic.
Yeah. Mike, this is one of those things that your brain is like a computer when you're out there fishing, and everything that you're saying mirrors 100% the data on the MAST-EMF study. And I think the big concern, and this is where I just give, like, you and Lou are changing the game as far as how commercial entities participate with fishery science and fisheries managers. I don't know if you know that. As a policy guy, I try to do it all the time. Apparently threatening people doesn't work. So gotta go back to the drawing board on that, guys. Well, I got a laugh out of Mike. So, let me explain what I said. So, what you're seeing is mirroring the data that's coming in from the scientific research. So, the thing when you start stacking what we know that the biggest striped bass produce the most eggs. Without a shadow of a doubt, have the best genetics. Because like just a 50-pound bag of meat with no teeth swimming in the ocean, how did you stay alive? I look at turkeys the same way. Like, you're like a 30-pound, 26-pound turkey running around on the ground. They're delicious. How did something not eat you? You're smarter than you look, right? So like they have the best genetics. For every 2 kilograms of weight that a striped bass puts on, they add 200,000 eggs.
Wow.
But here's the kicker. Biologically, the older and bigger that they get, the ratio of their gill surface area relative to their body size. I'll say that again so people don't have to hit the rewind button. The ratio of their gill surface area to their body size decreases as they get older and bigger. So it takes them longer to re-energize themselves. It also takes you longer to land them because they're really big. And anything we can do to mitigate that, you know, of course, duh, use the proper gear, but also just use something where you can just go doink and pop the hook out. And honestly, unless it's like some incredibly special fish, it's a kid's first fish over 40, do you really need, and except unless if you're logging it for Lou, but do you really need a picture of you holding the fish? You could absolutely just hold it and lean over the side of the boat and get your friend to take a picture of it, right? Like, or you get everything prepped, take it out of the water for 10 seconds and drop it back in. People need to be thinking about these things. And so, like, we went into detail about one treble versus two trebles and injuries, and is it the esophagus or the gills or, you know, whatever it is. Well, you're also decreasing release time, which is going to add to the vitality of the fish. If you are messing around with the fish and it's out of the water for over 2 minutes, that fish does not have a bright future. So again, with Lou's app, all you have to do is take a picture. You don't have to sit there with your gloves and be like, duh, 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 what is it? And the damn app is so smart. It's like, there's a striped bass. I know it's a striped bass. Ding. And you're done with your lures that you're coming out with. You can pop that hook out in half the time. So it everything stacks. And as the fish gets bigger and bigger, it becomes more and more important that we're more aware, because I don't care what anybody, you know, some scientists will say a dead fish is a dead fish. Bullshit. A 50-pound striper has a lot more value to it than a 20-inch striper. Period. End of effing story. And you have to treat those fish with respect. Mm-hmm. And you, both of y'all, when you were developing your two commercial products, actually put thought into that. And that's fucking cool. Cody may have to edit that out. I'm not supposed to say the F word. Or like, Cody, 36 minutes and 35 seconds. So that's really cool. I'll say it again.
Well, thanks. We're getting there. We're not perfect yet, but we're getting there.
You understand how it's like, it's not just one thing. It's not just like, oh, well, you're going to have less of a chance to hook a fish deep. There's five or six different things that directly impact striped bass survivability, as you call it, Mike. And both of y'all are zeroed in on what your products do to help improve that. That's pretty cool. I don't know if anyone else is doing that. Honestly, everyone else just wants people to buy their product. That's cool. That's very cool. Y'all didn't think about that, did you? How you're kind of helping on multiple levels, right? It takes a policy nerd like that to me to stretch that all together, right?
But I do think this is kind of the model that I believe in. And this is not even just about fishing or about data or technology, but, you know, as a society, I think this is the example of how science, policy, government, comes together with strong nonprofit advocacy and leadership and, you know, industry and commercial partners to drive better outcomes for all of us. And that is, I, you know, not to wax, you know, patriotically poetic, but I can't think of anything that's more American than that, is finding that incredible, you know, virtuous circle between private sector, innovation, science, good government, and good intentions. And I am very, actually very happy that we've been able to make some progress in that regard. It's early days. We've got a lot of work to do, but I think it's a good model for how we can do good and do well to, you know, by working together across sectors.
Mike, I know you're a big fan of the bluefish as well. And Lou and I announced the other day, we'll announce it again, that Got One is going to be collecting data for the Bluefish stock assessment in the Atlantic, just release data. So I know you'll be logging all those giant bluefish that should be invading your area, hopefully, fingers crossed, here in the next couple of, shouldn't be that long, should it? Y'all should start seeing big bluefish pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we get an early push and then a pause and then a whole bunch. So yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited for that.
And I'm sure the bluefish will benefit greatly from a single treble as well on your top waters, because they will literally tear their face off to get off a hook. It's probably worse than striped. Yeah.
If I'm targeting bluefish, I do a single. And I don't know. I haven't seen the data, but I'm assuming, or at least hoping, that that's better. But
100%. So a couple of reminders. Mike, so you're, again, Hoagie Lures, because they actually participated, boots on the ground in conservation and science, saw the writing on the wall, forward thinking, made the changes well before managers were even talking about this. The science is out. We have the data. Mike made the right moves. Mike, what, just so like, okay, they're coming in a couple of weeks. They'll be delivered. They'll start going out to stores. What models should our anglers look for?
Okay, so any new product, any new plug at Hoagie from the, say, last fall on, is going to come in that configuration. We haven't released them yet, but we have some sort of vintage style lures coming out. People know me, they know I'm a vintagey kind of guy. But we have a needle fish coming out rigged with this configuration, a Finnish style swimming plug, you know, shallow running swimming plug, again, with the treble flag combo. I'm sure I'm going to forget one. We have a long range casting popper. It's actually a sinking popper, but it's designed for very long range casting. That'll have the single flag, the treble flag configuration. We're retrofitting our 5.5-inch slider with the single treble. It looks beautiful in the water with the flag. It's like looks like an eel. It's incredible. It's beautiful. And then we have some trolling swimming plugs. Those are going from two trebles. Well, our smaller trolling plug is going to go to a single treble flag. And then our larger swimming plug was going to go with two single hooks. And early before we hopped on the call today, Tony, you were mentioning that the two singles was just as problematic as two trebles. And I have a container full of those coming, and I want to pick your brain about that if I need to
Not as bad, right? And I'm not going to share my screen because we're vibing so good. But just so you know, the single was, it kind of shocked me. It was worse than one treble.
Okay.
The single was worse than one treble. It was about the same as a single treble, a single hook and a treble hook. It was way better than a treble.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to look into that.
Again, we can send you that presentation. Yeah. So you don't have to,
okay. Well, thank you.
You don't have to look around for it on the old web, but I can email you that stuff when we get off this podcast, and see like, how cool is that to the listeners? You know, Mike's backtracking and making sure that he picked up on most of the science, but he's making sure that all of it's right. And then we have someone who's laying the groundwork on here to be basically, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, you know, rec data collection has a microscope on it right now. I was just forwarded a message sent by, I don't know, 8 to 10 Congress folks to Noah complaining about rec data collection. Got that this morning. That was lovely to read. That's the stuff that makes my hair fall out in clumps. And, you know, we have someone that's basically providing an answer for that in Lou. So it is critical, critical. You know, the toughest part about running a nonprofit and a fisheries association is people ask what they can do to help all the time. And sometimes I don't have a way for people to help. And it kills me because people want to help. Well, log your damn fish in. Log your fish in with Got One, whether it's a bluefish, a redfish, striped bass for the mass DMF study. This is your data is actually being used for science. There aren't a lot of other apps out there that can say that. Certainly not for high profile species. I'm not going to make fun of other species. I'm not going to do it. But I promise you, there's no one out there that can say that for stripers, redfish, and bluefish. No one. Our data is going to stock assessment scientists or the post-release mortality research team. Use the damn app.
And clearly going to tackle manufacturers like Hoagie
and
to
actually make buy, an immediate difference. You know what? Hoagie's put himself out in the lead. And if you want the ease of buying a sick topwater lure and not having to get your stupid split ring pliers and start trading stuff out and then being like, God, that doesn't swim right without the other treble. And now I gotta go online and let me ask this Facebook group what single hook they replace it with. And 3 weeks later and one hook in your hand and probably a broken pair of split ring pliers, you're never really satisfied with the top order. Well, just go to Hoagie and get it made, product tested, done deal, already done for you. And we would love nothing else in the world than your mass DMF study. How cool would that be if you're a mass DMF researcher? You're doing this because you love stripers. And then all of a sudden you start getting pictures of lures, brand new lures hot off the press that are being manufactured to be more conservation minded for stripers. And you're looking at that as a scientist as the pictures come in. I mean, I don't really know how things could get cooler for the researchers to know that, you know, before there's a peer review paper, before all this stuff, that they're actually seeing change take place while the research is still going on. And that's how much people love striped bass. If that doesn't send a message loud and clear, I don't know what is. I want to go put on a goddamn kilt, go out to the rocks, pick up the bagpipes and start playing God Bless America on them. That's kind of where I'm at in this conversation right now. This is change. This is how change should work. We don't need a meeting to have a meeting. We're all big boys. We all love these fish. We all want to be doing what we're doing years from now. And without the stripers, we're just going to be boaters. We're not going to be fishermen. So, man, I don't know. I feel like I got a new lease on life. Like things are moving in the right direction. We're going to keep informing y'all. If you're a lure manufacturer listening to this, you know, we'll be happy. The Guides Association would love sharing the data from the mass DMF study with you. If you're an angler, the striped bass are flooding into Cape Cod right now. Please download the app. Anywhere, New York, New Jersey, well, maybe not New Jersey. I'm just kidding. All up and down the coast. Especially New Jersey. Especially New Jersey, right? We need to show them that there's conservation-minded folks there. The stripers are flooding in. Record your fish on the app. Use Hoagie's lures out of the box. You can cut release mortality in half if you're choosing to let go of the fish with the way that Mike's designing these lures now. I don't know who else is doing that for you. If you're a lure manufacturer, give us a shout. We'll send you the data. Hopefully, you'll be able to follow the lead of Mike Hogan and Hoagie Lures. And I don't know, guys. I'm feeling pretty positive about all of this. This is all this stuff makes a difference. And it makes me super happy that I have folks like you that can actually flip the switch and make the change. Not just me screaming about it. It's awesome. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. I cannot thank you enough for everything that y'all do for Stripers. So
well, good stuff. Tony, thanks so much for having us. And if you wouldn't mind calling my wife after this call to tell her that I could actually be right somewhere in the cosmos, that would be amazing.
Wait, Lou. I sent a picture to Lou early this morning, and it was my entire kitchen empty with all my stuff, my coffee maker, my bread box, everything, dish soap, all sitting on my kitchen island. Because my wife saw an ant this morning at 5 a.m. And you would have thought it was the zombie apocalypse. By the time Lou called me around 10:30, 11, the exterminator guy was here, nuking my house because of the ant. And then Lou sent me a video that his wife sent him of ants on their floor. So I don't know if I can help you, Mike. I don't know. If I'm the guy to be asking, but you know what? You're such a good dude. I'll give it a whirl. I may make things worse.
Yeah. Hey, so can I just say one thing or two things?
Sure.
One, back to Lou's app in this connection with citizen science. So my son, Max, he's 13. Love the kid to death. He's not a very big fisherman. He has other passions, but fishing isn't one, which is fine. I'm just happy that he's interested in something. But he got very interested in helping me log fish. And so we know the great battle with kiddos of today is seeing more than just the top of their head with their noses and their phone. And no matter what the results come out, but having your kiddos that are sort of addicted to these phones, help coordinate the science. It is an awesome way to bond as a family of anglers to incorporate the science dimension. And it gets the younger generation thinking about conservation like from essentially day one. And I think that's an external benefit from this whole program. And I feel very strongly about that. And then the other thing I wanted to say, or Tony, you offered for other tackle manufacturers to ping you for the data. I don't care what tackle manufacturer calls me, but we're going through this and it's not easy and we've made some mistakes with the hooks, but if any other tackle manufacturer wants to share data or playbooks or how we can do it, if it's in the interest of striped bass, it's in all of our interests. And so the offer to share a collaborative effort to make all our products more striper friendly, we'll say, I'm all ears and I'm enthusiastic to help. So
that's incredible. Boy, that's not like Lou. Lou's always just like, I'm going to crush my opponents. And I'm like, whoa, dude, calm down. So that's me. I'm not even lying.
Yeah, I was about to say, that doesn't sound like Lou.
That's totally me. It's not Lou. But that's a super generous offer, Mike. And again, I'm not here just to pat y'all on the back. I'm here to say, everyone get off your butts. Follow Hoagie's lead. Follow Lou's lead. Because we can't afford to wait for regulations and things to be dictated to us. We have the science now. Take the bull by the horns, do the right thing, make the difference. Make the difference yourself. We have the power, we have the ability, we have the terminal goods through Hoagie, we have the data through Lou's app. And if we all do this together, I think we can turn the tide on stripers. So thank you all so much for being on here. Lou, as always, Mike, love having you on here. See if we can start a little movement. I'll get Cody to come up with a kitschy tagline and some stickers, and we'll shame people into doing the right thing if they won't do it on their own. How about it, boys?
I love it.
Let's do it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Guidepost.
Take care, guys.